Interesting results today from Astral Foods. Astral Foods, the biggest producer of chickens in the country, more than 5 million hatchlings a week are sent to its broiler operations. It saw its revenues go up by 7% last year to 7.5 billion rand, but its operating profit plummeted by more than a third. And that's because it's costing it more to produce the chickens, and it's not necessarily getting you to pay more for the meat that you are consuming. Chris Skitter is the chief executive of Astral Foods on the line to us from Centurion this evening. Do you slaughter more or fewer chickens in the last year through this recessionary time, Chris Skitter?
Good evening, Bruce. Now, sales volumes and production volumes of poultry up. Some people will recall our expansion project we had to create more capacity and flexibility to take up the so-called volumes that would come from imports that would be reduced by the master plan and by the higher import tariffs. Now, that obviously didn't happen, but we've got a long production pipeline, and these chickens were produced, and we had to sell them in the market. And unfortunately, from a price perspective, we could not recover our input costs. So we sold about 3.5% more chickens than the comparative 6 months.
I mean, that's about, 200,000 chickens more every week. That's a lot of chicken.
Exactly. And that expansion project was to produce 800,000 birds more over a period of time. We created an additional 18% capacity to secure growth opportunities for the future. And that's the first phase. The first 200 we placed, we planned already for that a year and a half ago. So that came online now. You can't, unfortunately, you don't have a volume button to turn it up and down as the market changes. So those chickens were in the production line, and they were hatched and processed and sold into a market that was already suppressed or depressed by both the unemployment and then, of course, the COVID and the lockdown effect and still high import levels.
I want to talk about those imports in just a moment, but from a consumption point of view, it surprises me that chicken consumption remained as high as it did considering the huge economic distress that we've been through.
Now, there's been a bit of a swing in the market segment, so the quick service restaurants, sit-down restaurants, and the hospitality industry make up for about 20% of poultry consumption. That was on a hard lockdown, and that volumes had to be channeled, obviously, into fresh and frozen. And the biggest spillover was in frozen chicken. So stock started to build up, and we are at higher stock levels now than what we've been a year ago, and that's where the chicken is. So there was a negative impact from the consumer. But then as we sit here today, the QSR sector has recovered to about 90% of their pre-COVID sales levels.
I mean, that's pretty good. So that's the chicken lickens of the world, the KFCs, and of course the others who have chicken on their menus in the quick service restaurant sector. I wonder from an economic indicator perspective, because chicken's always been quite an interesting barometer of economic activity. If people are earning more money, they consume more animal protein. Chicken is the cheapest, most accessible form of animal protein that people in South Africa can get hold of. You then see chicken sales boom. What's your reading of the South African economy as things stand at the moment based on chicken consumption patterns that you're witnessing?
Well, it's obviously a depressed economy, but markets are slowly starting to pick up. There's some investment in the JSE and slight improvements there. But we need long, hard-term investments in infrastructure to create jobs and also to create capacity for whatever the industries need in the future. But on current sales are quite strong. Our stocks are flat, and at this point in time, we're comfortable that we will sell the same amount of chicken this year than what the industry has sold in the past 2 years. The country currently produces about 20.5 million birds a week that are all sold into our market, and then we have the other 26% of consumption coming from overseas production areas. So I would think that the economy is in a difficult situation, but based on poultry sales, we might see a small uptick in the near future. Normally in winter times, we have chicken sales coming off a bit. People spend their money in different ways. This time around, we haven't seen that yet, and chicken sales are not healthy, but it's at a comfortable level currently.
Right, two-thirds of producing a chicken is in the food cost, and you guys have got massively complicated scientific formulas which tell you almost to the minute how long a broiler should live. And you do that in saying, well, up until a particular point, the food that it consumes changes to weight, and therefore you can earn money off it. At some point, the amount of food it consumes no longer translates to the weight, and so you then slaughter, and that sat last time I checked it, what, 31 days and about 1.7 kilograms. The fact that food costs have gone up so much over the last 12 months, does that impact then the sort of the life cycle of the broiler chicken?
Yeah, Bruce, it's a calculation we do on a daily basis. It's a very technical and scientific model, and obviously you want to point your slaughtering age at the average on a bell curve of about 1.8 kilos. In the South African market, so you will have the two ends or the two poles of the bell curve producing slightly smaller and slightly bigger chickens. But on average, all our birds over the 6 months came in at an average weight of 1.817 kilos, and they consumed just above 1.4 kilos of feed to produce a kilogram of white meat. So our efficiencies are improving. That's a huge focus area for Astral. We try to produce the cheapest kilogram of meat protein in South Africa, and that's what we keep ourselves busy with day on day. Very scientific. Our slaughter age over the period that come off by 17 hours on average over the 5 million birds a week, multiply by the 6 months, and we used less feed to produce a kilogram of meat. So the things that we can control in our production line is well under control. It's always the factors that you don't have control on, like international coarse grain markets, demand from China, drought in Brazil, South America. So it's the non-feed cost and the efficiencies that we keep our focus and the eagle eye on. And that is proven once again a somewhat of an offset to the higher input cost, that is feed. So feed went up by 17%. We had further improvement of 1 or 2 percentage points in our efficiency factors. But unfortunately, price was the bad one. We could not recover the input cost in the pricing in the market. And that's at the crossroad where we are now, is do you cut back on your production, supply less chicken to the market, cut jobs, or do you try and recover your input cost from the market? And that will be our challenge over the next 3 to 6 months.
Talk to me briefly about imports. This is another very complicated part. There's this master plan. There are import tariffs. Yet one in four chickens consumed in South Africa is an imported chicken, even though we probably produce almost enough for local demand, don't we?
Yeah, well, locally we produce 20.5 million chickens, as I said earlier. 26% of all chicken consumed on a weekly basis or monthly in South Africa is still of imported origin. So we still import quite a big chunk of our chicken into South Africa, the major export country, Brazil, at this point in time. There's a number of bird flu outbreaks which restrict imports from Europe, but that's been channeled to Brazil. So approximately 40,000 tons of meat consumed a month from imported origin. And then we had the master plan that was built by a number of players in the market together with the Department of Trade and Industry, and higher import tariffs was imposed. But again, this is proof that there's dumping. The price in the country of origin was just introduced to cancel out the higher import tariffs. So over the past 6 months, we saw imports coming off by approximately 10%, where we expected the impact of the higher import tariff would reduce volumes by closer to 30, 40, 50%. So that master plan and the import tariff did not have the impact that we hoped for. And that's why we had this expansion plan, is to take up the slack in imports. But we had three factors contributing to imports being about 10% lower year on year. And that could be partly by the import tariff, but also partly by COVID that reduced the demand on the side from the QSR market. And then there was a softening of our currency against the hard currencies, which also has a negative impact on imports. So we don't know which one has come to play, or maybe it's a bit of all three of them.
And the legal battles with municipalities to get your basic services restored. You've been to court. You took the president to court. And one of your facilities, you know, no water, no electricity. And you forced the municipality's hand to provide you with services. Has it worked?
No. We've secured a court order that placed the central government under pressure to intervene. They agreed to that court order. What we know to date is that nothing has changed on ground level, but the positive is that the president and the presidency has approved the intervention plan. That plan had to be put in front of cabinet, and last Thursday that was approved. So we sit here on high alert, await the detail of that plan to see what the governance intervention plan is, and then we'll take it from there. We are hopeful that it's a solid plan, and obviously we will assist central government and treasury to expedite the plan. So very different from in the past year. We've got the president and the cabinet approving a plan to rescue municipality. I don't think that we should expect that miracles, but at least it's a move in the right direction. And we now have a court order that will force government to do the right things for the right reason. And we'll hold up to that. We are ready to move whenever they don't execute the plan. We will take them back to court again. And if it takes us a lifetime, we'll do that. But in the meantime, we're also trying to become self-sufficient. We now supply 50% of our required water ourselves with a reverse osmosis plant, but it comes at a price tag of 50 odd million bucks that could have been spent very different in maybe expanding the business or create more jobs. And we're also forcing Eskom's hand to have a better supply to the industry in Lekwa. But we also don't want to be a tug of war with the community. We don't want to benefit and the community lose out. So we want a fair outcome for the greater Lekwa municipality area, and we will keep on pursuing that avenue. As I say, in my back pocket, I now have a court order, and if they don't execute it, we'll take them to court again.
Chris Kitter, Chief Executive at Astral Foods.